Shalom, dear brethren. May the peace of the Lord be upon the whole household of faith. Wherever you may be this night or this day, I pray that the peace that passes all understanding is with you. In Asia, Africa, Australia, Europe, and in the Americas, North and South, plus the far-flung island nations of the world, in days that are so troubled like these, we need greater things to sustain us, to lead us, and to guide us in the way of full assurance that comes only through the name of Jesus our Lord. In the spirit of that name, this is Brother Ryan Jasper coming to you in order to walk together in the unity of the faith, seeking Christ and the will of the Father above. And there's no end to that search. And to look for the deep things of God that call unto the deep is the goal that we press toward together, the mark of the high calling, as Paul the Apostle once put it. I know I'm still searching for the higher truths and revelations. I haven't come to the end of it yet. So together, let's just find faith in Jesus as written in the Psalms and speak a little on this subject of Jesus in the Psalms, which is a continuation of some thoughts I had the privilege of sharing with you earlier in this year. But there's always more to be made aware of. Ever there are more ways to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord, as indeed the very Messiah, messenger of the covenant himself, underwent that very same process of growth, as it shows in Luke chapter 2 and verse 52. As Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man, it becomes evident then we have to grow as well. We have to do the same, for while we can be like our Lord in manner of thought and deed and being convinced of those things, but of course we are never above him. He bore our burdens upon himself to the effect of sharing our griefs and sorrows, and to be of like-minded faith is to be agreed with the true light of St. John chapter 1 and verse 9. That is the light of the world, the light that has come into the world from above, as we all seek that which comes from the third heaven, the invisible to the naked eye realm of the Lord's direct presence, but it's oh so very real. And the evidence of all that, it surrounds us. It gives witness to the source of life that brought creation forth. And that's vital to us, to keep that thought alive, as man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Man, however, he does live by natural bread in part, the physical part, but it's the spiritual that created the physical. In order to make a loaf of bread, God had to create the universe first. He had to say, "Let there be light," to bring forth the seed to the sower and bread to the eater. It shows in Isaiah 55 and verse 10, and likewise in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 10. So all things proceed from there, as everything that is seen, felt, tasted, heard, perceived on any level is born out of that which was unseen. As that most amazing scripture of Hebrews chapter 11 verse 3 tells us, "For that which is seen was not made of things which do appear." Only within the last 100 years or so in the history of mankind has the world caught up to that fact of what the writer of Hebrews knew 2,000 years ago. Indeed, that knowledge is imparted from the beginning as revealed in the written word, as shown to Moses in the Genesis creation account when God formed the cosmos out of nothing. Nothing but expressed faith, that is. And certainly the Psalms of our Bible were made out of that same invisible stuff, for they are also expressed faith as well, like in the Psalms, just as the thoughts that brought life into existence. They have creation power held within them. And what do they create? Well, they create more faith, which is the fine gold of the Spirit, the pearl of great price that one gives all that they have in order to obtain it. So from Psalms chapter 8, to access the power of revelation and the faith that brought us out of the darkness of non-existence and into the marvelous light of awareness, whereby we give thanks to the Holy One of Israel, who is indeed the very soul and the spirit of truth, that St. John 14:17 proclaims, let's find Christ. Let's find his life within the Psalms. For the Psalms are praises, and God inhabits the praises of his people. He's in there. He's waiting to be found. And he is always in his word. In Psalms chapter 8, to read from the first verse and onward to the second verse then. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who hast set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. Those scriptures tell us that the Lord is indeed on our side. Now, before we come to our connecting thought as to how this applies to the life of Jesus, I just want to encourage everyone that no matter what befalls you in this life, no matter what type of obstacles, or in the language of the King James English version of the Bible, no matter what stumbling blocks are set before you, and even if you find differences of doctrines from those who witness for the Lord, above all things, in all scriptures, in all ways, all shapes and forms, find Christ. It's the most vital thing you'll ever do with your life, or the most vital thing you'll do with the life that the Maker and Creator has entrusted to you. Whether rich or poor, famous or unknown, male or female, Jew or Gentile, it's the most important thing that can ever be done. Nobody's ever had a greater calling than this, to find Christ. Whether you're a world political leader or captain of industry, faith that works by love that dwelt among us in Christ is the most vital pursuit ever. We have to have it. And we can all do that. We can pursue faith in Christ, from the least of us to the greatest. In point of fact, Jesus said that the last shall be first and the first last. For we that are chosen and have chosen the way of the Lord, we're in service to one another, even as Christ was. And there are so many things to be aware of. There are literally thousands of doctrines and prophetic interpretations within Scripture around the world. And none of those scriptures that those interpretations are drawn from are insignificant. They all mean something to us. If you're like me, every scripture, every belief that you have is important to you. But to love the Lord with all that you have and all that you are, and then to love one another, if you have that at heart, you will not fail. To have those Hear, O Israel commandments of Mark 12, 29 through 31 within, and shown also in Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 40. If you have those at heart, you will not fail. You may make some mistakes along the way. You may not see everything as quickly as you would want to. But if you love the Lord and your spiritual neighbor, and in all cases, do unto others as you'd have done unto you, you will not fail at the end. You'll succeed with just those simple rules in place within your heart. But having those things settled, by all means, seek the Lord's will in every matter and grow thereby, because the Christian pilgrim has to make progress. Now, as to Christ, every scripture is about him. Some vary directly, but each verse contains the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead. It becomes then a matter of revelation in every line to find his witness within, as these words are the testimony of Jesus, conceived of before the worlds were framed by the Word of God, which is such an awesome thought. I never get tired of proclaiming that. And the Master himself quoted from these Psalms, verifying their holiness and signaling their inspiration. In point of fact, they were written in preparation for Jesus to use them when the time came, and they were at all times written for him to live in, by word, by thought, by deed. Just as it was that John the Baptist helped prepare the way that led to the coming of he who was before me. So these prayer songs were inspired to pave the way for Jesus. He who created the universe and stretched the line upon it, who measured out the span of the heavens, would he not consider all things and measure out his word in the same way? He would. He did. He will do so. He'll draw the line again in the new heavens and the new earth. So the word is apportioned to reflect that. And so as we read in Psalms chapter 8 in the first two verses, Jesus came just after this same fashion as described, being born in Bethlehem, being dependent upon Mary and Joseph for his care until he was ready to be about the Father's business, which he himself proclaimed at the age of 12, the only statement we have from the young person of Jesus, until the time he was baptized by John in the river of Jordan. And we have ordained strength from that in order to defeat the power of death itself, the last enemy of 1 Corinthians 15:26. For Christ overcame death by the power of the third day resurrection might. So truly, the mystery of all this is great. The mystery of godliness as to how the plan unfolded. That's one of the great 3:16 scriptures of the Bible in this particular case. 1 Timothy 3:16. The mystery of it all truly is great. How that God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels. His word then being preached to the Gentiles through the apostles. And in the moment following the great commission to do so, he was received up to glory. God truly does work in mysterious ways to us, but God's ways are not mysterious to him. He knows exactly what he's done. He's measured out the line. He's apportioned everything to reflect his glory. And the story of it all, it's incredible, but that doesn't harm our faith. It confirms it. And then there is this in Psalms chapter 8 from verse 3 as we continue on. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Christ would share that experience. He would be made and incarnated into a body of flesh, a little lower than the angels, but yet would be crowned with glory and honor. One of the greatest inspirational questions ever asked, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Why do you even bother with us? Humankind is so much trouble, so much unbelief, so much ungodliness in the world. But yet it turns out he not only is mindful of our low estate, but we're placed as inheritors of the kingdom which is to come, as we're in the middle of the Lord's spiritual designs. And that's the good news of all time. And I know we're placed in the middle of all that he does because Christ came as one of us to be as we are. The Son of Man has to identify with flesh and blood, the Son of David by covenant promise, and the Son of God by origin, as over his own house, as Hebrews 3:6 tells us. And this is the question contained here. It's not one of doubt. What is man that thou art mindful of him? There's no doubt in it. It's offered in faith and gratitude and awe-filled wonder at the mercy of the Almighty God, El Shaddai. So he was mindful of us as the Word became flesh to dwell among us in order to fulfill the limitless potential of the divine will, that of his desire to be a father to us and bring forth spiritual children. All of us are here. We live and draw breath because of that desire. And it is a wonder. It is a wonder. It's something to be wondered at, even as it is wonderful. And then in the following scriptures, having given dominion as described in verses 6 through 8, we come to the final verse of David's Psalms 8, which tells us, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. The name that is given also is that name of reputation. was revealed in Christ, for there is no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved, which is Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. So this gospel good news was written to glorify the name of Jesus by the fact that the Lord is our Lord. O Lord, our Lord, David exclaims here. God gives breath to every living creature, fowl of the air, and to whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas, is written here. His works proclaim him, even as his word does the same. And Lord willing, we'll share some more thoughts on these Psalms tomorrow. May God's mercy be upon you, and may his salvation shine within. Shalom, everyone.